My family growing up was not much on taking vacations. Not quite sure why, but I can only remember two family vacations in my entire childhood. One in 1971 and one in 1973. Both times we traveled from Los Angeles, where we lived and where I grew up, to Vernon, Texas, a town which none of you are familiar with. This small town, just a few miles south of the Oklahoma border, sports a whopping population of 11,372 as of last year, but it was where my grandmother grew up, in the midst of cotton fields and cattle. But needless to say, the adventure of going from Los Angeles to rural America was a little bit educational. We stayed with some of my mother's cousins, with whom she's still quite close, and they're farmers and ranchers and oil people. They have large swaths of land where the cattle grazes and the cotton grows. And in our week there, we spent a lot of time on farms because other than the Dairy Queen, there was not much to do in town. Now, our cousins were wonderful and gracious about showing us their lives. And yeah, I remember it all so well because it was just so completely different than what I was living in suburban Los Angeles. And one of the highlights was my first fishing trip. So one evening, after the hot Texas sun had faded a bit, we went out to one of the farms that had a small pond. And even this, as an Angeleno, was a remarkable thing. Any body of water other than the ocean. It was mostly there to irrigate the cotton, but it didn't really matter. And according to my cousins, there were catfish in the pond, and we could catch them. That process, as I recall, involved some basic fishing equipment, nothing too terribly fancy. And then there was something called stink bait. Now, I'm like, do I really remember this right? So I Googled it last week when I was thinking about this. So I Googled stink bait, came up with a recipe. You'll love this. I think we're serving it at a coffee hour today. It involves chicken. It involves chicken livers, garlic, molasses, and Parmesan cheese, and cornflakes. That was just one of the recipes. I won't share any others with you, but let's just say it lived up to its name. And the thing is, there was no clean way. There was like a tub of this goo. You reached your hand into it. You formed a little ball of it, rubbing this garbage all over your hands, and you tried to stick it on a hook without impaling yourself. And then if that all worked, you cast the bait and the hook off into the water. But as I recall, more often than not, the bait went one way and the hook went one way, and so you had to reel it all in, make another gob of this goo, put it on there, and yeah. And then, in the unlikely event that the hook and the bait had actually made it into the water, you would sit and wait and hope and wait and hope. And was that a... No, it wasn't. And hope and wait. Let's just say I didn't run home wanting to become a fisherman. Between the stinky bait and the waiting for nothing, the Dairy Queen in town sounded quite good. But there must be something more to fishing. You know, I know people who plan entire vacations around this, going to some of these beautiful places that God has created. And I can believe it, being out on a lake, being out on the ocean, being in some beautiful brook, being in God's creation and sensing God's majesty all around you, I'm sure there is something to that. But for me, it wasn't quite working. But I think about that today, because it was fishermen whom Jesus first invited on the way. The first people that Jesus called to follow him were people who spent their entire lives waiting and hoping. So perhaps there is something in this waiting and hoping that is part of this journey that we are called on. I mean, waiting and hoping is what we are called to do as the people of God. And the gospel passage repeats the Isaiah reading that we heard today that shows how far back this waiting and hoping goes. The people who sat in darkness, seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. That waiting in the dark was hopeful waiting. The people of God have forever been seeking the light. Their time of sitting in the darkness was a time of waiting. And I think the same thing happens in our own lives, sometimes again and again. And as many of us look at the world right now, many of us feel that we are in the dark. Now others feel a new life has dawned, and I don't know which of us is right. But I know what all of us are called to do. Follow me. That's what Jesus says to these happy fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They got out of the boat and they got on board. They were the first person, the first people to respond to Jesus saying, follow me. They were the first part of this movement. They were the first to respond to Jesus. And this gospel passage that we have today is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. What happened just before this is Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. Next week we move straight into the Beatitudes and Jesus' teaching. But this gospel passage we have today, this is where this whole story starts with a bunch of fishermen who spent their life waiting and hoping, and Jesus said to them, follow me. Now I'm going to get to fishing for people with stink bait in a minute, but first I want to reflect a little bit on how these fishermen responded. You know, last week we had some of the same characters in the story. Andrew and Peter had seen Jesus and followed him, but today Jesus calls out to them from where they were and says, follow me. And they responded. And I am convinced, I am absolutely convinced that God calls out to each one of us in some way that says, follow me. God calls us into things that we don't think we're qualified to do. God calls us into places that we might think are dangerous. God calls us to shed light in the darkness. But God calls us, Jesus calls us, he says, follow me. But we don't always say yes. I know I don't. Sometimes we turn away. But God keeps calling. That still small voice is there. And the most important thing that we can do is to say yes. The most important thing we can do is to take that first step in following Jesus. I mean, these fishermen immediately left their nets, left their livelihood, left their lives to follow Jesus. We are called to cast aside the nets that are holding us back from where God wants us to be. And these fishermen led the way. Now, saying yes to Jesus takes a lot of different forms. And quite frankly, I think a lot of us out here said yes to Jesus yesterday in an interesting way. I am wearing pink. A few of y'all did that yesterday, and God bless you. And part of that was saying yes to a God who wants to respect the dignity of every human being. It's not about respecting somebody more than somebody else, but respecting the dignity of every human being, recognizing that we are all created equal under God. Part of saying yes is us standing up in the face of power, speaking the truth to power, speaking the truth in love. God asked Peter and Andrew to follow him. And then gave him this funny line. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Now, what exactly does that mean, and what does that mean for us? One, it is what we are called to do. We are called to capture people. We're called to reel them in. We're called to capture their hearts. Not in some way that's deviant or underhanded, but by sharing our stories. Sharing with them how we know God, how we see God, how we experience God. And when we do that, like these fishermen, we need to wait and hope. I think fishing for people is sometimes harder than pulling catfish out of a pond in a Texas farm. But there are some similarities. Because sometimes the bait may not be quite as appealing as we want it to be. Sometimes the things that we are called to do as Christians is difficult. The things we are called to do as the people of God are hard. It does mean speaking the truth to power in love. It means fighting for those who can't fight for themselves. It means sacrificial giving. And sometimes these things stink. But it's what the world needs and what we need to share. And when we do it, the results don't happen instantly. We need to wait and hope. We need to trust in God. We need to cast the net again and again, waiting and hoping and knowing that God is in it. But oh, my friends, the sweet rewards. So after what seemed like a bazillion hours on a hot Texas night, there was finally that telltale tug on my pole that let me know that something like that stink bait. My cousin Joe came up behind me and helped me reel it in. And there, at the end of the line, after casting about 20 pounds of stink bait into this murky pond in Texas, there was a big old catfish. And I smile now when I still think about it. It was fun. I mean, there's this incredible sense of accomplishment, this incredible sense of joy. Think about the sense of joy when somebody comes and realizes that this gospel is the real truth that helps us live. Think about the joy that comes when we reel somebody into this story and help them understand that this is a new way of life and a new way of being. We are called to fish for people. The bait may not always be beautiful, but the catch always will be. We have a chance in this again and again to turn to God and say yes. We have a chance to invite others in. We have, at one time or another, sat in a great darkness. But this story that we share is a great light. It's not going to happen overnight. The waiting takes patience. The hoping takes faith. But the catch is always worth it.